Back in 2016, this man first joined us. His name is Dr. Andrew Pipe. He was a guest on the show, and we talked at that time about prevention and rehabilitation for folks who've had a problem with their hearts. He is with the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, and he's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Pipe.
Good morning. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to be talked to after what I recently went through. Boy, what a scare.
I'm sorry to hear about your adventures, but glad to hear your voice and
thank you.
Know that you're back doing all the good things.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, you know, for a first timer, and I'm sure you've heard this many a time, you've encountered first timers throughout your career, I'm sure. It's a scary situation, not knowing what, you know, what's next. And thankfully, go ahead.
That can be very unsettling for sure. I completely understand how you must have felt, and hopefully that concern and that fear of the unknown has now been replaced with a very carefully thought out strategy, and you're doing all the right things in the right way.
You know, it's funny, because at that moment you feel like you're in this on your own, meaning that, you know, why me? I mean, the rest of the world is out there, and here I am on the table, and I got a bunch of scientist types, you know, poking around on me. But, you know, this is interesting that one person dies every 7 minutes from a heart attack or a stroke, and each year about 350,000 Canadians are hospitalized due to heart ailments. And, wow. All of a sudden, you're not in this by yourself. It's a lot bigger than I thought.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the other very sobering fact is that for many, many people, a very significant proportion, those who have their first experience, unfortunately, their first experience is their death. And that's a fact that we don't focus on for understandable reasons, I suppose. But it is important to understand that. And I think the great news, though, is that over the course of my career, which you know is now several decades, our ability to manage heart disease has changed dramatically. And the good news is that the incidence of heart disease is coming down, thanks to the work of organizations, for instance, like the Heart and Stroke Foundation, who do such great things. Generally, the greater amount of knowledge that people have, and of course, you're in a great position, and I thank you for having this conversation, because your experience and what you can interpret and what you can convey is going to be very helpful to large numbers of people.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, if we can, Andrew. So you know, I'm probably a good representation of most folks who love the outdoors and either fish or hunt. You know, we're generally, we tend to skew a little bit older. Our demo is in that, you know, 45 to 65 years of age. We generally tend to be male, obviously. And we generally probably are not the most physically fit people on the planet. Now, I say generally because I'm sure that there's an exception to that rule, but I would say that pretty much sums everybody up that I know that does what I, and has a passion for the outdoors like I do. So let's talk about that person, and I will be your poster child. I had 100% blockage in one artery and 40 to 60% blockage in the others. And the disturbing part about this, Dr. Pipe, is that almost to the day, a year ago, I had a complete heart examination, you know, including ultrasound, including, I think it's called CAT scan, where they, you know, you drink that fluid and all that stuff. And of course, just about every other test that you could do for heart. And I came out with a clean bill of health. How can we explain that type of blockage in less than a year? Or can you even say it would be caused in less than a year?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I think it's important to appreciate is that we now recognize that heart attacks and the blockage of those blood vessels comes about not because there's something there, you know, the crud that grows on the inside of the vessel that grows and grows and grows and then suddenly one day completely occludes that artery. What happens is that you got that crud on the inside of that artery, which is inflamed, it's angry, it's irritated, and it ruptures. And that rupture releases into the bloodstream in that artery chemicals and other compounds which cause an almost instantaneous blood clot. so that 100% blockage is caused by that blood clot, which is triggered by the rupture of that coronary artery plaque, as we call it, the crud that grows on the inside of those vessels. And so that's what causes that heart attack. And one can have, you know, flow through a blood vessel, which does have some of that plaque, and the flow is adequate until the day that plaque ruptures and the heart attack occurs. Of course, the very good news is that there are things that we can do to minimize the likelihood, A, of plaque development. First and foremost, and I think if I may generalize, this may be typical of those of us who love the outdoors and do stuff, is many of that group smoke. And the first and foremost thing that you could possibly do to optimize your health, to add 10 years to your life expectancy if you're a Canadian, is to stop smoking. And that could be much more difficult, right?
Yeah.
10
yeah.
years. Yeah. And one of the ways to think about that is to think about how much money the tobacco industry has sucking out of your wallet over the years that would have bought you a new boat, a new motor, you know, whatever. So stopping smoking. Being physically active is, you know, most important doctors in most of our lives are our left leg and our right. And a daily appointment with those guys on a bicycle or walking or jogging or doing something that's fun and physical on a regular basis confers very substantial protection. And it's something we kind of tend to ignore as we you know, roar around the community on our ATVs or dirt bikes or whatever. I mean, we need to be much more physically active. Your typical Canadian, if I may stretch it a bit, is probably less active than your average municipal fire hydrant. And that's, you know, that's pretty unsettling.
If I could just stop you there for a minute, because I'll be honest with you, you know, my wife, you know, has harped at me for years to get to the gym and to even just go around, walk around the neighborhood at night after supper. And I keep saying, honey, listen, I do enough out in the field 200 days a year doing what I do for a living. I don't need that. I am physically active, but obviously not. So tell me the difference between walking around the neighborhood, if in fact walking around the neighborhood every day is even a useful tool to prevent a heart condition. Explain to me how that's more beneficial to your heart than just being active, you know, on and off the boat, standing on your feet for 12 hours at a time, casting 1,000 times a day, picking up boxes and luggage and moving them off of conveyor belts and into the back of a truck. Like, how is that any less active than walking around the neighborhood?
Well, I think the big difference there, Angela, is that when you're doing what you've just described, your heart rate goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down, your heart rate goes up and it goes down. We know that one of the great things for your heart is when you raise your heart rate and maintain it there for 25 or 30 or 35 minutes, right? And so it's that raised heart rate that comes with walking for 35 minutes, biking for 35 minutes. You know, when I talk to my patients about physical activity, I talk about the three F's, right? First being fun, doing something that you enjoy. Second being feasible. Is it something you can do and introduce into your day? And if it's fun and it's feasible, then you should be doing it forever. Somebody once said that the most important thing everyone can do is to walk their dog every day, even if they haven't got one. Right? because it's that raising of that heart rate and keeping it up there for 35 minutes that provides particular benefit to the heart.
And assuming then that if you do add a little jogging to that pace, that's even better?
Yeah, although, you know, probably not all that much better. I mean, if you're going to train an athlete, that's a very different approach using physical activity than optimizing your health. Because once you get to a certain level of physical activity, walking that dog every day, even if you haven't got one, the additional physical activity isn't going to confer much more advantage. And that's important. All you're trying to do is to outrun the Grim Reaper. And the Grim Reaper walks very, very slowly. So walking at a comfortable pace every day gives you tremendous advantage. And it's fundamental now, I hope, to the kind of approaches that you're taking.
I want to talk to you about that, Andrew, but we need to take a quick break. So if you can sit tight with me for a moment, we do have to pay some bills. Dr. Andrew Pipe on the line with us, chief of the Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation, University of Ottawa Heart Institute. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He pushing the magic buttons today is Joe Gorskowski because Stephen Labadie is away vacationing. Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, still holding us on off the rocks, let's put it that way. On the line with us, our good friend, Dr. Andrew Pipe, chief of the Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation of the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. And, of course, the relevance of having Andrew on the program is that I'm now into week four of my recovery from a massive heart attack. So who better to have on to talk us through this than the good doctor? So, all right, Dr. Pipe, I'm now almost a month into this, and I'm totally committed, obviously, to the rehab program, which is pretty much what you just said. You know, obviously no more cigars. They're gone out of my life. Exercise on a daily basis, and that includes walking around the neighborhood if that's what it takes. Eating nothing but the right food. I've completely eliminated all the things that I know are just not good for you. I don't think I have turned a vegan. I say that with a lot of caution. However, you know, I'm probably eating a lot more plant food than I ever have before. I think I'm on the right road. Can I completely recover from this situation? Obviously, the stent is not going to be removed. That's going to be in there forever. But the other blockages that are up to 50 and 60%, can we reverse that?
Yeah, there's now very good evidence that we can shrink the crud, if I can keep using that term, that can be on the inside of your blood vessel walls. We know that unless an artery is blocked beyond 70%, the flow down that artery is not really impaired. So that's the reason why one doesn't address those other partial blockages. But particularly taking the medications, which I'm sure you're taking, we sort of talk about APA, beta, statopro, and that's, you know, medical hieroglyphics to describe, look, you're probably taking a medicine that makes it less likely for your blood to clot, and that's probably a small dose of aspirin. You're probably taking something to control your blood pressure and reduce the work of your heart. But most importantly, you're probably taking something that not only lowers your cholesterol levels, but also, probably more importantly, stabilizes that unstable plaque that can line coronary arteries. And so it kind of seals it off, and it dampens down that inflammation. And if you get certain levels of your, certain types of your cholesterol below a certain level, we can talk intelligently about being able to shrink that plaque. And wow. So it's all about doing ordinary things extraordinarily well, right? Being a non-smoker, eating sensibly, exercising regularly, and taking the medications which have transformed our ability to manage heart disease. And unfortunately, because these medications are very common, there are all kinds of myths and misconceptions about those medications get repeated on, you know, the internet and YouTube and so on and so forth. In my lifetime, in my professional lifetime, those medications which control cholesterol have transformed our ability to manage heart disease. So you're doing all those right things. It's kind of like doing everything your grandmother told you, right? Eat sensibly, have good friends, don't smoke, exercise regularly, get lots of rest. And to that I would add, have fun, enjoy your life, eliminate the kind of stresses that make you sort of seethe and do the things that you enjoy. And I think the great thing, Angelo, that you have is that you're able to marry a passion with your career and your activities. That's a perfect situation. And given the changes that you've made, very good things will happen.
Yeah, I learned something, and I mentioned this on last week's program, Andrew. The cardiologist that's looking after me, we started talking about stress and stress levels and all that. He made a very interesting comment. He says, you know, he says there's a bit of a misnomer, and stress gets a bad rap. most of the time. He said it's not stress that causes heart attacks. He says, in fact, but in his opinion, stress will never kill you. It's what stress causes you to do. It's what stress turns you into that is the killer. Yeah, and then he went on to explain, you know, when you're stressed, you tend to do all the wrong things. You eat at wrong times. You eat the wrong food. If you're a smoker, you smoke more. If you're a drinker, you drink more. You can't sleep. You know, all those things. And it made a whole lot of sense. And in his opinion, you know, none of us will ever remove stress. And he compared it to professional athletes. He says professional athletes are under constant stress every single day. They are under stress. Race car drivers, they're under extreme stress every weekend. But it's all in how you handle that stress. Turn it into a positive. Do all the right things that you just mentioned, and that is eating right and not smoking and not drinking and all that stuff. And stress is not a big deal. So I kind of appreciate that commentary.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And you know, all of us experience stress, and right. Stress isn't corrosive unless you have no ability to control it. And when stress is destructive is unlike the professional athlete, unlike the racing car driver, you're in the midst of stuff that you just cannot control. So you're on a fixed income. You got a pension. You've just lost your job, and the mortgage payments are coming. And that kind of stress is not what we typically think of when we talk about stress and heart disease. We always have this picture of the harried business executive clutching his chest. Right. Well, you know, the stress that we can control is in some ways, you know, it's part and parcel of what we do and what we enjoy, right? It's getting the boat down the rapids and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah. So, yeah, I completely agree with the perspective that was shared with you.
Yeah, that was great. It was great to hear that. I could keep you on all day. You know that, Andrew. Really appreciate you coming on the program. We will, if you don't mind, we will check in with you periodically and give you an update on how things are coming along. And anytime that you've got information that we need to reach out to folks and let them know how to prevent this thing called, you know, heart ailments, heart disease, heart attacks, please feel free to reach out to us as well.
Well, thank you. And thank you for talking about this, because as noted, it's very important that you do this given the population that you reach, the large numbers of people who are at risk or who have had similar problems. And you're being profoundly, profoundly helpful. And I'm grateful to you for doing that.
You can get more information, too, before I let you go. You can get more information at a couple of websites, the OttawaHeart.com. That's OttawaHeart.ca, or you can go, of course, to heartandstroke.on.ca, heartandstroke.on.ca. Any other place they can get a hold of you, Andrew?
No, I think you've identified two very good resources, and particularly the Heart and Stroke Foundation in association with hospitals and universities across the country does fabulous work providing information, which can be very, very helpful.
And one of the other tools that I want to throw out there, I know you will concur, when in doubt, go fishing.
Absolutely.
Dr. Andrew Pipe, thank you very much for joining us, my friend.
Pleasure as always. You take care now.
Andrew Pipe, Chief of the Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. And just very comforting having somebody like that on the program. And he did tell me, it's not like I didn't know, he did tell me a couple of years ago that I needed to make some changes. So now it's a done deal. I need not be told anymore, Joseph.